Turn with me to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91. I'm simply calling this message safe. The word safe can mean many different things. Calling something safe means it's not dangerous or won't cause harm. 90% of what my boys do probably wouldn't fall into that category. Saying someone is safe can mean that they aren't in danger or in a situation where they could be harmed. It also can mean that a person is okay, even though the situation around them isn't good. And like Jason and Maria experienced this week, you had a bad experience, but thank the Lord everyone is safe. If you tell someone this is a safe thing to get into, you're telling them that if they're making an investment or trying to start something new, it's likely going to be successful or profitable. A safe subject, not many of those today, but a safe subject is something that's likely not to cause controversy or debate. And like I said, there's not too many of those, it seems, today. Safe can also mean cautious. I'd rather play it safe than take a chance. Safe can be dependable. There are some people I would trust my children to stay with, and there's others that I wouldn't dream of leaving my children with because they're not safe. We use safe in sports. That person is safe on second. They didn't get out. We use safe when we store things. We put our valuables into a safe or a vault. The story is told of a monastery in Portugal, perched high on a 3,000-foot cliff and accessible only by a terrifying ride in a swaying basket. The basket is pulled by a single rope by several strong men, perspiring under the strain of the fully loaded basket. One American tourist who visited the site got nervous halfway up the cliff when he noticed the rope was old and frayed. Hoping to relieve his fear, he asked, "How often do you change the rope?" And the monk in charge replied, "Whenever it breaks." Now, that likely isn't the best example of safety, and I'm not sure I'd recommend you visit that place. If you get there, maybe just stay. But when it comes to our Heavenly Father, the word safe takes on a much more special, much more sacred and wonderful meaning. From time to time, I feel it's necessary simply to be encouraging when I preach. And there's obviously a time for instruction as the Lord instructs me. But I just felt like today needed to be one of those days where we simply are encouraged. And I know, as we've said earlier, there's a number of people here. If within our congregation, some here this morning, some that are preparing to go over to be with the family, but have dealt with the loss of a loved one and a very difficult loss. And I'm sorry, and I pray the Lord will comfort and send His presence to be with you and the family today. I know there are some here this morning that have been going through different types of valleys. Some have been going through physical valleys for a long time, and they're not here, but they're watching. And so what I'm going to share is something that we can all take comfort in. I was drawn to this passage from one of the notes that was in our pastor appreciation box that all of you contributed to. I'm assuming everyone knows what I'm talking about. Little scriptures, or you might not have been here when we had that done. I don't know. When did you have that passed out, Diana? The pastor appreciation box. When was that passed out? Okay, so everyone put a verse, or I say a lot of you put, it had to be several, puts a number of them in because we had like close to 400 or something. A note, a verse, a poem, a joke, something. And this verse was in there, and it popped out to me, and it was Psalms 91. I think it was Psalms 91, 1 and 2, or Psalms 91, 2, one of those verses. Anyway, that's what drew me to this passage. So one of you is to blame for this sermon, I would say. And maybe you remember who, maybe one of you remember writing that down, but I really appreciate all those, the thoughtfulness that went behind that. So with that being said, let's read our passage, Psalms 91. We're going to read the first four verses and just keep your Bibles open because I'm going to reference that the whole way through. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now I realize this chapter goes on for a little while, and I contemplated using the whole chapter for the sermon, but I realized pretty quickly that there was way too much information and depth there to cover in one service. And to be frank with you, I didn't really want to dig that deeply into it because the first four verses was what I was really interested in. And these first four verses contain just some so beautiful promises for us. And in them, I think we can find some real encouragement. And I'm just going to go verse by verse and work through this. And so keep your Bibles open, follow along with me. We'll go back up to verse 1, and I want to point out several things about this verse. The three things I want to point out of this verse is secret place, abide, and shadow. The secret place, some commentaries believe that this secret place is the Holy of Holies. We talked about this several months ago or a month or two or something when we talked about our great high priest, if some of you remember that, and how we have access to his presence at all times. And I don't know if David was referring to the Holy of Holies here or not. Maybe it was a prophetic thing saying that if those that accept Jesus' sacrifice that was to come, they would be in the Holy of Holies. I don't know, but I do know this. The secret place that's described here is quite special. How many of you have a favorite spot that you go to get away, hide out? It might not be a spot that's secret where no one knows where it's at, but a place where just the world doesn't seem to touch you. For me, it's outside. You know, the secret place is anywhere where God's handiwork is seen, especially where not a lot of people are. The secret place David is talking about can only be found in our Heavenly Father. There is no other special place that can compare to this. And the secret place is in the very presence of God. It is, really is, the Holy of Holies, whether David was referring to that or not. For us, it is being directly in God's presence. And I don't know how you react to this, but I know for me personally, I don't grasp it or appreciate it nearly enough. However, have you considered the alternative? Not being able to go to God. Not being in His presence. Not being able to run to Him in trouble. That would be a very, very dark place. And there are so many there. And let me assure you, if you are a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go running to the secret place that's being talked about here. What a blessing. And then I want to look at the word abide, and that word is pretty cool. I spoke about this a few weeks ago using the word abide, but abide means to make your home there. It's where you spend most of your time. And just something to think about. We have the option of abiding in the presence of God. It's up to us whether we choose to use it. Are we using that option? We don't have to face life's challenges alone. We can do it from the safety of God's presence. And I think of the song, Constantly Abiding, that comes to mind. Are we doing this? Are we constantly abiding in that secret place? And then the word shadow. A shadow is something that provides protection from the sun. The harmful UV rays of the sun can't penetrate through the shadow. You know, you can be protected there. And I love sitting in the shade of a tree. There's something relaxing about being in the shade. I know a lot of you have said the same. A shadow is cast by an object that is blocking the light. It doesn't have to be a large object. But if you want to get a large shadow, you need to have a large object for the most part. When my boys were smaller and in the evening after church we'd go walking across the parking lot, the light shining off the church would make these really interesting looking shadows from different directions, and they always liked to see how we could, maybe they could hide inside my shadow, and I'm not saying my shadow was bigger or anything, but they, you know, they just, something they enjoyed doing. It made some not very flattering images there on the parking lot. And when I think of this phrase, under the shadow of the Almighty, I think of God being bigger than anything we can ever imagine. And we all know that a large object casts a big shadow. So what kind of a shadow must God cast? And I realize that that's figurative speech. You're never going to see God's shadow because you don't see God. But the mental picture there is awesome. What a huge shadow. And if you're under that, wow. So let's recap that. If we abide, if we live in God's presence, if we stay in that special secret place, then we will be protected by the evil rays, the evil influence that Satan wants to use to harm us. And I don't think I need to tell you, and we've already heard from some this morning, that Satan is trying desperately to get God's people discouraged. I have been feeling that myself so much the last few weeks. I feel like every weapon has been turned my way here the last several weeks. But I know I have a secret place, safe place to run to. And it's under the protection of God. Satan can't hurt me there. And then look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. And there's two parts here to this that stand out. The first one is refuge and fortress. Our Heavenly Father is called both refuge and fortress here, and those are two very descriptive words. I looked up dictionary definition of those words, and refuge is a shelter or protection, a state that's safe from something threatening, harmful, or unpleasant, and then a fortress is something impossible to get into, something that is impenetrable from acts or acts as protection. And both of those terms describe our Heavenly Father. And if you stop and think about that, it's incredible. God not only provides us a safe place to shelter in, but Satan can't get to us there either. I love it when little children go running to their parents because they are scared about something and they just know their safety there. When Isaiah was probably less than a year old, he was scared to death of my grandfather's four-wheeler. He didn't mind riding with me on it, but starting it up just freaked him out, and he'd turn around and grab me as hard as he could when it would make its noise, and he knew he was safe when he was with me. And that's how a child needs to be. They know their parents will keep them safe, and they just expect that. That's the way it should be, and that's how we should be with God. We should be able to run to Him and not only find a refuge of safety, but also an impenetrable fortress from the enemy. And then the other phrase that stands out to me is, in Him I will trust. And the more I thought about it, the more challenging that phrase was. I think we all can say we desire to fully trust God and completely lean on Him, but when challenges come, then we're tested with that belief. And I do believe the older you get, the more you learn how to trust. But I truly believe that no one will ever completely figure it out. We're human, and we're going to struggle with this, with letting go and letting God. And I know I've had talks with some of you that are older, and man, I would have thought I had that figured out by now. But I'm saying this to me more than anyone else. Well, think about this. The God of creation is keeping us safe. He has a fortress for us to run to, yet we struggle to trust. That doesn't make sense, does it? But yet it's a very real struggle. My prayer has been, Lord, help me to trust You. I'm just not going to say I trust you because I know in my own strength I can't do it, but you need to help me to trust you. And this verse is clearly telling us that we can run to our Father for a refuge and fortress, and we can trust in that. The next two verses are very cool because David uses bird language, and he compares Satan and God using words that relate to birds or bird hunting. So verse 3 says, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." For a hunter to catch a bird in a snare, the snare needs to be disguised cleverly, maybe some food there to attract the bird, or maybe the snare needs to be hidden in a place where the bird frequents so it's not expecting it. Birds are pretty smart critters, and if you expect to catch one, you need to be pretty cunning to be able to do that. And when I think of this, I think of a book, and maybe some of you remember me reading it, the story of the eagle that was over weeks' time, or it might have been months, I'm not sure how long it was, where a hunter gradually changed the surroundings and set a trap and got it all set up, and he eventually caught this magnificent eagle alive to send to a zoo. And this verse is comparing Satan to a cunning fowler. He isn't going to just trap someone without carefully deciding what would be the most alluring to them. I don't have to tell you that Satan is tricky. He knows every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we'll trip up. And he's going to exploit that to trap us. But we're promised here that if we stay close to our Father, he will protect us from Satan. I don't know what that does for you, but it makes me feel comforted, even though I struggle with trust, I'll admit it. It makes me feel comforted knowing that even though I can fall victim to Satan's traps, I don't need to. I can run to my Father for protection. And this verse also makes reference to a pestilence. A pestilence is a very contagious disease. Have we had any of those here recently? I'm pretty sure it's not referring to corona, but however, I think we can easily compare Satan and his tricks to a serious disease, and that disease is sin. We can fall prey to it if we're not careful, but we're promised we don't have to give in to sin. We can live a life of freedom, like we spoke about several weeks ago. This pestilence of sin doesn't need to afflict us. And then the psalmist goes on to say something very special in verse 4, and I'm going to divide that into two parts. The first part being, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge." And we have yet again analogies to birds in this verse. We all know that a mother bird sits on her eggs or nest to keep the babies, if they're hatched, or the nest or the eggs warm, keep them safe. If their babies are little, keeps them from being afraid. I don't know how many of you know much about feathers, and to be honest, I didn't really care until I have offspring that love to collect anything dirty and gross, at least one of them, and drag them into the house, and constantly finding things that I just would just as soon not be inside the house, and they need to be taken out to the shed, and then cleverly removed at some point. But feathers are one of their favorites. And Isaiah one time was taking the feather and splitting the veins apart. You know what I mean by the veins? Just ripping them apart. And I said, "Don't do that." I said, "You'll mess it up. Then it won't lay flat." "Oh, no, Daddy, you can fix them." And he showed me how to zip them back together. Does anybody know you can do that? Well, my wife was very pleased to tell me that she knew that already and knew something that I didn't. And when the bird is pecking at itself, he's putting those veins back together and zipping the feathers back together and making them waterproof again. And that's really incredible. They have little lockings like a Ziploc. It locks together. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. God designed a bird to be able to repair their own feathers to make them waterproof again. Not only keeping them dry, but also protecting their eggs or their babies. The elements can't get to them then. There's a bird that built a nest. I don't even know what kind of bird it is. I want to say maybe a mockingbird or something, but it's The nest is pretty ugly, and it actually used little sticks, so it's not typical. Is it a mockingbird?
Yeah.
Okay. He knows all about birds, so I'm assuming that's right. I built it in a rose of Sharon bush by the door there, and you know, you get close, the bird flies away. Well, the other day when it was raining, I was walking by with the umbrella, and I thought, I'm going to see where this bird's at. So I got over, and there she was, snuggled down in there real tight, trying not to be seen, but not daring to move because I need to keep the nest safe. And I thought how cool of a picture that is. Even though she knew that it was been safer for her to fly away, she wasn't going to. And reading this verse made me think of that incident. And I realized what a special picture this is. That God is showing us through His Word, the storms of life are going to come in like crazy. The wind, the rain, the snow, whatever, of trouble are going to hit us with intensity. But we can go running to that shelter of our Heavenly Father, and He'll keep us safe just like the mother bird keeps her young safe. And that's such a beautiful picture. It really does fill me with a sense of peace, knowing that even through tough times, Jesus is there. Jesus is helping. Where would we be without Him? Then the second part of this verse is the last verse in our last part of the verse in our text there. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Switching from bird analogies now to His truth will be your shield and buckler. What an awesome phrase to end on. And I want to examine the word shield and buckler. A shield is something used in olden times, held in front of a soldier to protect, say, from arrows or spears. In more modern days, it's something that a police force or even in the army or whatever, they hold something in front of them to protect against bullets or shrapnel. I'm sure you've seen different tactics like SWAT teams or whatever holding a whole line of shields and they're walking behind it. It keeps a whole group of people safe. A buckler, I don't know if you know this, but a buckler is a device that's worn over the forearm to protect the forearm. So you're holding the shield, then you got this protection right here. And each of those protections was vital for fighting in a battle. And here is where I found this verse awesome. This verse is saying our shield and buckler, our protection, comes from God's truth. Again, I know I've spoken so much about this subject recently, but I'm realizing over and over how important this subject is, and I honestly think the Lord keeps on bringing this up because we need to really pay attention to it. There is so much so-called truth that is being published today. Some of us had a decently long conversation about it last night. With our wealth of instant information available at our fingertips, there are so many sources that sharing what they're saying is the truth, when in reality, it's deceptive and completely false information cleverly disguised as the truth. And I've seen people fall prey to that, and it's really scaring me. And several weeks ago, we talked about the last days and how false messiahs and teachers will rise up and deceive many. And it's quite scary. How will we know what is the truth and what is a lie? Well, the answer is quite simple. His truth will be your shield and buckler. If you're focused on the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and helping others to find that way, then hide behind it because that is the truth. So if you really are following Jesus Christ and His truth, then you'll be able to decipher and be protected from all the lies that are being thrown out there. And that's pretty awesome. To use God's truth as your protection against lies. I trust this message has been an encouragement and has done what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share with you. I know there are many in our congregation here this morning. I know there are people that are probably watching that are facing difficult things. People are hurting. There's a lot of hurting going on right now. And life has come in like a flood. And I feel it. I know just here this morning, some of you said you feel it. But what a promise to know that God is with us and we can turn to Him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. It's a beautiful passage. To the one whose dreams have fallen all apart, in all you're left is a tired and broken heart. I can tell by your eyes and you think you're on your own, but you're not alone. Have you heard of the one who can calm the raging sea, give sight to the blind, pull the lame up to their feet, with a love so strong that I'll never let you go? No, you're not alone. Did you know that the voice that brings the dead to life is the very same voice that calls you now to rise? So hear Him now. He's calling you home. You'll never be alone. These are the hands that build the mountains, the hands that calm the sea. These are the arms that hold heavens that are holding you and me. These are the hands that healed the leper, pulled the lame up to their feet. These are the arms that were nailed to a cross to break our chains and set us free. You will be safe in His arms. You will be safe in His arms. It's the hands that hold the world are holding your heart. This is the promise He makes. He will be with you always. When everything else is falling apart, you'll be safe in His arms. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, we praise You for Your word. We praise You for the promise that You're protecting us, that You're keeping us safe, and that we know we have the option of running to You and avoiding the tricks and the traps that Satan wants to throw our way. Would You help each person here to take comfort in this and to realize that You will be and can be our refuge and fortress and a very present help in times of trouble. We thank You and praise You for this. Would You encourage each one here this morning? Give guidance and direction throughout this day and the upcoming weeks. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Trust you have a beautiful day.